Welcome to Talking Travel on 2NUR FM. Greg Richard here with Sally Lucas. Afternoon, Sal.
Hi, Greg. How are you?
Chipper. Very chipper.
Chipper.
I've gone from fighting fit to chipper.
You know what I've decided your favourite word is? I know Mark's is hurdy-gruten. I think yours is bric-a-brac.
I love bric-a-brac.
You do that. You love bric-a-brac. I had a chuckle this morning when you were talking about the men's shed sale that there might be some bric-a-brac.
Oh, we can only, fingers crossed, we can only hope there's bric-a-brac.
You want to know what I'm going to talk about, do you, I suppose?
Great bric-a-brac countries, where bric-a-brac's from?
Food and wine.
Oh, okay, right.
Food and wine and a little bit of new information on the GAN. Railway.
Lovely stuff. It's Talking Travel on 2NUR FM. Doing a bit of food and wine tours.
Well, I thought, why not? It's that time of year coming around Christmas where we're all going to parties and all that sort of thing. And I thought, well, why not? Let's talk about food and wine.
Venturing outdoors a bit more as well. Not today.
Today doesn't look all that flash out the window, does it? Anyway, this is around the world. Top culinary experiences around the world. So, some of them, obviously. There's plenty out there, so this is just a selection. So one of them is in Rotterdam, which, of course, southeast of Rotterdam, actually, at Kinderdijk, where the windmills are, and you can go to a cheese farm to learn about the making of fresh milk and meet dedicated cheese makers. So that's something, if you in that way and you love your cheese, that might be something you'd like to do. The other thing, if you happen to be in Italy, northeast of Florence, you can go for a cooking school in a Tuscan castle, a medieval castle at that, called Castello del Trebbio, which is on a hill with panoramic views. And you have a private chef, so you learn to make pasta dough from local ingredients, sauce from local tomatoes, herbs and spices. And then after your lesson, you enjoy hors d'oeuvres, the pasta you've prepared, and also accompany it with beautiful, of course, local wines.
Not surprised Italy's in that, but also doing it in a castle as well is a bit...
Yeah, wouldn't that be a bit special? Yeah, absolutely. In Japan, you can have dinner and a geisha show. So that's something different again, where you have these skilled female performers in art, dance and song, and they entertain you as well as you having a traditional Japanese meal. So that's something you can do in Japan. In Vietnam, in Ho Chi Minh or Saigon, whichever you like to call it, you've got the iconic Ben Tan Market there. It's a massive market. It's huge. It's got everything known to man in it, from food to clothes to you name it. You want to buy it, it's there. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't matter what it was. But anyway, while you're there, if you're going to the food section, which is good, you can savour lovely Vietnamese pancakes, their beautiful fresh spring rolls, steamed rice cakes, and the famous noodle soup, or pho, as it's renowned, which is really something great to do. And it's just a massive market in Ho Chi Minh. I've been there a couple of times. It's wonderful. Now, back to France now, east of Bordeaux, there's an area where you can go truffle farming and tasting, if you're into truffles.
They use pigs for that, don't they?
Yeah, usually, and there are certain dogs they use for it as well.
Right, okay. Yeah,
dogs or pigs, depending, I guess, on the truffle producer's preference. So you actually have a truffle at a farmer's house on the outskirts of Saint-Emilion, which is near Bordeaux, as I said, and he uses actually this particular one, truffle hunting dogs. And they have this innate ability, apparently, to detect truffles buried quite deep in the forest floor. And you learn about the rare black Perigord truffle, as well as heading to lunch to savour a few delicacies. Norway, you can go on a king crab safari in Honningsberg, which is right up the top of Norway, almost as far as you can go. You put on floating suits and you head out in a deep sea raft into fjord. Can you imagine that? Taking in the views of everything around you, and you go out to a marine farm to see the harvesting of prized king crabs. And the fishermen pull them out from the depths, and then you return to shore. And
you want to hope the crabs don't pierce your floating suit.
Well, I don't think you'd be holding them. I'd say looking, yep. I think. Anyway, you go back ashore, obviously, and have a traditional Sami tent, which is the Sami of the local people. You enjoy your catch there as well, which is cooked for you. Also in, where else can we go now? Oh, Tassie. How about Tassie? At Cambridge in Tasmania, there's the Barilla Bay Oyster Farm and Winery, and you can savour some beautiful Pacific oysters and fine wine at the nearby winery, which was established in 1980. So you learn all about the new oyster growing methods they're using now, learn about the tidal waters and oyster growth, from being a little spat, as the little ones are called, to maturity. So that's something nice if you're into your wine and your oysters. And there's quite a few others, like there's some in Belgrade, the Bohemian Quarter of Belgrade. you'd go down all the cobblestone streets there, then you head to a local restaurant where you indulge in a meal of Serbian fare, which includes all sorts of the sevapi, I think they're called, which are like a grilled sausage that they have. It's a specialty, and traditional desserts, and also there's local performances, local wine, and all sorts of other Serbian delicacies. So that's just a few places around the world. If you happen to be in those countries, why not take advantage of something special that you'll remember? It'll be a real highlight that you'll always remember, and that trip was, that's where I went, you know, to the truffle farm or the cheese factory or the wine tasting or whatever.
Or you made pasta in a castle.
Yes, I think that sounds the best to me. Yeah.
Well, as soon as you said food and wine, I've gone, guaranteed Italy will be in here. I'll be surprised
absolutely.
If they weren't.
Exactly. Italy and France. I mean, they're both two of my favourites.
Can't go against, really.
No.
What's next up?
Wine.
Wine. So we're just doing wine next?
Wine.
All right, righty.
No, French wine districts, actually. It's a bit more specific.
And sadly, no tasters. It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM.
I should have brought a bottle with me.
It's Talking Travel on 2NURFM. We've just had a quick look at food and now we're venturing to wine.
Absolutely, and I didn't bring any with me, Greg. No. I know, damn shame, eh?
Very disappointed, Avery.
Sorry, I'll try and rectify that. Yes, I'm just talking about French famous wine regions because a lot of the river cruises now all going through these wonderful regions of France that are famous wine regions. Mm-hmm. So why not, while you're there, indulge yourself?
You may as well.
Take advantage of some of the most beautiful wines you'll get in the world. I mean, I know we also, don't worry, I'm very much an advocate of our own wine, but also French wine is, I guess, one of the most important wine producers in the world, and they produce over 3,000 different wines across 2 million hectares of vineyards.
That's a lot of grape.
Isn't it? Think about it. So France, if we should speak correctly, can be divided into 11 major wine regions that are scattered all over the country, of course. And like here as well, they're known for each one for their distinctive, unique, their terroir, their grape varietals, etc. And so these are some of the wine regions that you might be interested in, depending on what sort of wine you like. One is in eastern France, in Alsace, which is in the Rhine Valley that borders Germany. So it's very much more like German-style wines.
Okay,
and they're known for their fruity, floral, giant sweet wines such as Riesling, Gewurztraminer, Traminer, Silvaner, Pinot Gris, Pinot Blanc and Muscat d'Alsace. But they also produce some red wines such as Pinot Noir and some sparkling or Cremant, you know, wines as well. And if you're doing a cruise ride to, there's a cruise that does Paris to the Swiss Alps along the Rhine, that has an option to do that wine tasting in Strasbourg. So you could do that. Beaujolais, of course, we all know French do really, I still think it is a French wine. It originated there. Yeah. I know we don't make as much of it in Australia, but I don't think what we make here is anywhere near as good as it's the French Beaujolais, and you'll probably have people out there disagreeing with you on this, but that's okay. We're allowed to.
There might be a few wine people on the phone very shortly.
So the Beaujolais region is in eastern France between the cities of Burgundy and Lyon, and the wine is made from the Gamay grape, but they also make some white wines such as Chardonnay and Rosé, but they're really famous for the Beaujolais, and you could do that on a France River cruise that does Lyon and Provence area. Bordeaux, of course, I think everyone's familiar with Bordeaux. It's just so famous for its red wines. And it's in the southwest of France along the Garonne, Dordogne and Gironde rivers. And they're famous for Cab Sav, Merlot, Cab Franc, as well as a few white wines as well, but they're really more famous for their reds. And, of course, there is another river cruise that goes through there that does an eight-day Chateau Rivers and Wine. The Loire Valley, which is beautiful. I've stayed in the Loire. It's a gorgeous part of central France. It's got some of the most castles, I think, in France are in the Loire Valley, as well as having the lovely wine region as well. And they have, like, the Chenin Blanc, Sauvignon Blanc, Muscadets as well. And they do have some other wines, like the Cabernet Franc, Gamay, Malbec, and Dry Rosé as well. So you can always include that. And then the Rhone Valley, which is in southeastern France, along the Rhone River, of course. It's the birthplace of Syrah or Shiraz, but it also produces other red wines such as Viognier, Marsanne and Roussanne. And the Southern Rhone, it's more Mediterranean. It produces red, white and rosé wines, quite a long range, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, Grenache Blanc, etc. And, of course, again, there is another cruise that does that, that goes all the way down through that area as well. So, look, if you're thinking of doing a river cruise, or even not, even if you're driving around France or something and you're in some of these beautiful wine areas, shout yourself at, you know, and the vineyards are just beautiful. Some of them are like old chateaus, and they're just delightful places to go. And they don't water in France hardly. It's natural irrigation. Whatever the vines get, they get. They don't.
Righto, okay.
Yeah, they're not artificially watered.
Yep.
But yeah, it's a very, you get to learn a lot about the history of the grape, and it's just so pleasant. And just have a nice cheese tasting and sample the wines. I mean, you know, I'm setting the scene for the weekend, Greg. What are you going to have tonight? Some cheese and wine,
just
maybe.
Some cheese and wine. That's it.
Yeah.
Pass out. And go to bed.
Hey, what? There's nothing nicer than that, is there? A nice cheese platter or something with
there isn't, you know.
It's really lovely. And
just
you
to sit and have a little graze, a bit of cheese.
And you don't always want a heavy meal at night. So I think it's a nice way to go. But yeah, so we've been talking about all things.
How they do it in France. They probably have a big meal at lunch.
And well, they eat small amounts, but they love what they eat, but they don't eat like huge portions.
Yep.
And that's why they say, why do French women not get fat? And, you know, and then they dress so well as well. Like, they would never go down the street in trackies or a hoodie or anything like we do. Like, we don't. We are just hopeless in the fashion sense. Like, you go to Italy or, you know, France, everyone is so well-dressed.
Yes.
Even the men, you know, they'll still have their jeans. They'd be really good quality jeans, shirt, a beautiful leather shoe. You know, they like...
Proper pants, jacket. And,
the whole box and dice, which is lovely.
We just pop out wearing...
whatever.
Thongs, track pants and... And a flannel.
Yeah, we're not renowned for our fashion.
So we'll be back with some hot deals next. Here it's Talking Travel on 2NURFM 103.7. And Sally, we're going to wrap it all up with a couple of hot deals.
Well, I don't understand Black Friday. It doesn't make sense to me.
Exactly.
Which Friday is it? I'll never know, because they start the sales the beginning of the month. I think, well, is it, which Friday is it? Then someone said to me, it's the last Friday in November. Well, why are we having Black Friday sales now and we're not even up to the last?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly. And also, it would make more sense if it was on the 13th.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly. The real Black Friday.
We're going down a different path there.
Yeah, I know. Now, AAT Kings, who run tours, beautiful tours within Australia, because of the release of the Territory series, I don't know whether anyone's seen it yet or not, but on the top end I have, and it's fabulous.
That's Australia's Yellowstone, isn't it?
Yes,
yeah.
Very much so.
Okay.
But it showcases the Northern Territory dramatically. So it's really quite photographic. Cinematography is just fantastic. So anyway, because of that, they've launched their new brochure for next year, and because of the Netflix series, they've got a campaign going where there are savings of up to $2,900 per couple on a selected range of their tours to NT between 1 April next year and 31 March 2026. So it's quite a long range of, you know, dates that you can choose from. However, you've got to remember this is only on sale till the end of November.
Okay.
Oh. Okay. And just about everyone's got a Black Friday sale at the moment, just to let you know. Like down to Antarctica. Oh, I've kept looking. I thought, is there any more? How many more Black Friday? Chimu, Quark, all these companies that go down to Antarctica have got anything from 25 to 30% off a range. And Antarctica's expensive, so to get that much of a rebate. But they all finish on different times, just to make life more interesting. So some of the end of November, some of the 6th of December, some of the 9th, some go through to the 30th. Good luck.
It doesn't make sense.
I mean, good luck with it all. So Chimu, as I said, they have got savings up to 25% on an 11-day small ship Antarctic cruise for next year, which is March, and I think in January. Limited availability, of course, on all these, so it's a first in, best dress sort of thing. Mark, for you, Hurtig Gruten. I've got to do it for him. This offer is the 1st of December and travels solo with no additional cost on a range of their cruises in Norway. Now, Heritage, pardon me, clear my throat, Expeditions, they have got up to 50% off their Black Friday sale, booked by 6 December. Grand Pacific Odyssey, which is going Papua New Guinea, New Zealand, Japan, or this one's just of the New Zealand itself, one just of Japan only, the Kimberley, etc. So, and also Undiscovered Dusky Sound, a range of theirs up to 50% off, but again, 6 December. Now, this one goes through until the 9th of December. That's another hurdy-gurdy, and it's not the solo one, but this is saving up to 25% plus $500 to spend on and board on a range of their cruises as well. So it's just a matter of checking which ones have got the rebate.
And I believe they've got something a bit different than a Black Friday.
They call it Green Friday because they consider they do everything with ecology in mind. And how they run their vessels. And
see, that makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? It does. That does make sense. And lastly but not leastly, for those who love Japan, and it's the flavour of the month at the moment, every man and his dog's going to Japan, and there's a lovely...
Are the flowers out now?
March.
March, okay.
Usually towards the end of March... into early April, but they don't last long, so you've got to be lucky sometimes, depending on what sort of winter they've had. But autumn's beautiful anyway, like September, October, you get your russets, your golds, your reds, you know, of your autumn colours, which I think are just as lovely. Mm-hmm. But you get the lovely pink and white petals of the sakura or cherry blossoms, obviously, end of March. And this cruise is actually the 26th of March to the 10th of April. It's a special offer at the moment. You're getting a bonus free night in Tokyo, transfer from Tokyo down to the port of Yokohama to do your cruise, which is almost circumnavigating Japan, plus it's got a stop in Busan in South Korea, and it's also got prepaid ship gratuities, most onboard beverages and delicious onboard meals. And it's on the Azamara Pursuit, which is a lovely company, Azamara. It's a 15-night cruise and stay, so there's a really good reduction on that with all those extra inclusions if you can book on that by 30 December.
That's it.
I think that's enough. But look, there's lots of them out there. There's more than I could mention. But, yeah, everyone's having a Black Friday sale of some description. But you've just got to check because all the dates are different and the time span's different and when they finish is different. And, yes.
Right, OK. Well, so if you can find something, great.
Yes, yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. So, Lucas, thank you very much. And next week we'll have...
Barry. Yes, next. I'm at a wedding in Sydney. So,
nice.
Yeah, so Barry next week and me the week after.
Excellent. Thank you, Lucas. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.